Squeaky lead superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are? Ricky Lee, superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are?
It's showtime with Ricky Lee. Thank you for joining me here on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. Continuing our series profiling local artists involved in theater and entertainment, today I'm joined by Matt Hordyke, a man of many talents on stage and off. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Hi, Ricky. Thank you.
Now, I originally met you when you were doing lights and sound for Mornings at 7 at Ricklepick. How did you get involved in entertainment overall? I heard that maybe you started as an actor.
No, actually, I started in high school.
Okay.
So basically, with Ricklepick, I started as an actor.
Ah.
But in high school, I had started doing set and stage crew. And actually, really early on when I was a kid, I did, obviously, the summer stuff, and stuff like that. But that was nothing. But, I started doing set and stage crew in high school. Kind of built up from there to, eventually doing lights in college, and joined Ricklepick as the ensemble for a Hello Dolly. And that's when Steve Connell and I met, and I helped him out then with the lights. Then for next one was Golden Pond, and then Mornings at 7 the next year, also was Gina Bell Daniels.
Yes. And what kind of made you gravitate towards the backstage side of the industry?
I started doing it that way. So I started off again with, set and stage crew, and I liked that a lot. I auditioned for So I auditioned for the play in high school, didn't get it, and I never got it in high school. And the first play, the first professional thing I ever actually did was Ricklepick's thing.
Oh, wow.
But it was always, I was auditioning, but I never, it always surprised me, never the bride kind of situation.
Okay.
And so
you naturally just gravitated, if I can't be on stage, I want to be involved somehow?
Exactly, yeah. And I mean, I found out that I loved it. I love the, I love the production. I love the, entire, schedule of it, and the rhythm of it, the people that you meet especially are was always great for me. And that's kind of how I got into it. I found that community, that theater community, and really fell in love with it.
Now, when you're designing lights or sound for a production, you get the script. What happens next?
So for me, what I do is I get the script, I read over it, I see what has to be done. So for Mornings at 7, for instance, I mean, it was really cool because you had to do, an entire daytime transition into night. So for me, I looked at that. And then what I actually did for that one in particular was I went out and I observed, the lighting at different points of the day. And if you remember or not, during the rehearsal, I actually was popping in and out, because what I was doing was I was taking pictures of the sunset as it went. And so this way I could then recreate it. And actually when your character that you played in that came on was actually during effectively what's kind of like the blue time of night.
You know,
that moment just before sunset when, the world is actually blue. I mean, it's something, if you've been out, outdoors in the evening, exactly what it is. And so just as the sun's setting, so I had to recreate that using the cool lights that we have, which are color changing LEDs. That's kind of my approach, basically.
Now, that's your approach for light. What about sound? You're creating an evening atmosphere. How do you create that with sound?
Actually, it's really easy. So, I mean, for sound, it's way easier than lights, because sound is just triggers. So, I mean, you'll see any, TV show or something like that, and there's always crickets chirping at night, regardless of what, when it is or what time it is. And that's just because as a human, your basic instinct, and more specifically as an American, human, your instinct is basically, oh, there's going to be a cricket, at night, because we have them, so we're always going to hear it. I mean, like, obviously, if you grew up in the Arctic, you know, like in the Arctic regions or something like that, you wouldn't hear crickets at night because they wouldn't have, you know, survived. But, you know, that's kind of the general idea. And so you just like kind of give the audience those key ones. For me, what I tend to try to do with like stage stuff is I like to try to not, you know, be as unintrusive with it as I can, because it shouldn't really take away from the scene that's going on at the same time.
Okay. And now, how closely do you work with the director in terms of making sure you're creating their vision for them?
Very close. I mean, it always depends on the director, because so, you know, some directors, you know, have an exact vision for it, and other directors have, you know, like what they want to happen and how can you make that happen. So for me, I always try to work very close with them in order to like figure out, okay, so what this is what I'm thinking with this, and you know, and then it becomes like kind of a negotiation at some points where it's like, okay, but if you do it that way, then we won't have enough light for this, or if you or if we have too much light for it, then it will kind of take away from the atmosphere of that moment, you know, like or something like that. If it's too bright, it would take away from the moment that they're kind of, you know, like this like dark moment that's going on. So if we do that, just letting you know this might happen that way, and you know, like kind of negotiate it to try to figure out how, where we can meet the middle, some of it.
What is the hardest part about doing light?
I think for me, the hardest part actually for me is, you know, I mean, like I'm not actually trained in it, right? You know, it's the big thing. You know, I'm coming at this pretty much, you know, 100% amateur. So the biggest thing for me is definitely lighting correctly, which is, you know, professional lighters, they know how to professional light, you know, light design, they know how to light it so this way, you know, there's no flatness to it. Me personally, I don't really care about that as much, and I know that, you know, that's going to cause a lot of people to get really angry, but you know, I don't really care about it as much because I'm going for the more realistic, you know, approach to it. I'm trying to like, I love, you know, and have loved since I was a kid, figuring out how to light things, like, you know, like with Legos or something like that, how to light things so this way they're, you know, creating that realistic atmosphere. And so that's kind of my approach to it, is to, you know, go for the more realism, but that isn't doesn't translate onto the stage where you have the, you know, like usually a proscenium, or you know, even worse, you know, when it's a theater in the round where it's you have to light the entire thing, and that becomes really difficult because for me that sometimes conflicts with the atmosphere that I'm trying to create or something like that, when I have to also worry about the audience seeing things. If the audience just didn't have to see the show, I mean, we wouldn't have a problem, but.
Now you have this tremendous work ethic. You go out and photograph the sun setting so you can capture it in lights. Where does that come from? Have you always had a great work ethic?
I mean, to some extent, yeah, but a lot of it really comes from, it is actually informed by theater. I mean, you know, that's what, when, like I said, when I started off in high school doing it was an understanding for me that, you know, we have to do everything we can do to get the show done, and I'm a part of that. And so, you know, and so going out and trying to figure that out. I know that, you know, for a lot of my friends that went into theater when I was in college, I can see that, you know, clearly in what they're doing. I mean, you know, it's very clear that they go above and beyond to try to accomplish, you know, get the goal, you know, get the goal accomplished. And so I think that's really where it comes from for me. It comes from that high school experience, you know, with Mr. Cummins, who was our set designer, and you know, it just is that understanding of, you know, you have to do it so this way it gets done, and you know, you have to know what you're doing, essentially. And you know, he was a teacher, obviously, so he taught us. But you know, him and Matt Claypool, who also was actually in the industry, you know, just really, you know, kind of got me into that idea of like, you know, this is how I need to get the, you know, get this done, and this is the task, this is how long I have for the task, that kind of thing.
Now, you've learned how to do the tech through high school and then from on the job, just kind of learning it and observing others. How important is it to work with somebody else who knows what they're doing so you can kind of sponge off of them?
Oh, it's really important. So Rick Amundsen does the lights, at least did the lights. I believe he still does the lights for several Woodstock productions, you know, several opera house productions. And he also did the does the lights for MCC. And so that's where I, you know, that's where I met him. But that's 100% important because I, again, I'm not professionally trained in it. So seeing him, him telling me, okay, so this is how you turn this, and this is, you can point this way, and this is generally, closing these shutters will do this. That really helped me to like actually understand some things about it. But yeah, definitely, working with someone that knows what they're doing is important.
Now, do you kind of see it as your responsibility to pass that on? Somebody shared their knowledge with you, so you kind of feel an obligation to share it with the next generation?
Somewhat, but again, for me, it's I'm not professionally trained in it, so I worry about
Teaching the wrong
sharing,
things?
sharing the wrong lessons. And so it's but yeah, no, I mean, I guess so. It's just that obviously, I am still part of the young generation, so I can't pass anything on yet. I mean, they're gonna be in diapers right now.
Now, what attracts you to a script? What makes it a show that you want to be a part of?
Honestly, just being invited. I enjoy working in theater. The benefit of like certain scripts are like, the appeal of certain scripts, I guess, would be, like, does it have natural lighting? Is there a way I can do that? Or can I do something fun with it? I know Ricklepick worked sorry, Elgin Independent on several productions, and one of the ones that they did was Play the Spirit, which was really fun because, I mean, I got to do all, special effects as opposed to just, straight up, standard lighting. But yeah,
Nice.
so that those abilities, the ability to do certain things with the script.
You're listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. Continuing our series profiling local individuals involved in the performing arts, today I'm joined by multi-talented Matt Hordyke. Matt, you started with Ricklepick as an actor. You're a big acting role after high school. What appeals to you about being on stage as opposed to being behind stage?
I mean, just the fun you get to have with it. Now, I mean, with that, I was in, I was like a relatively minor part. Actually, not relatively. It was very minor. But it was but the ability to have fun with it. What I did improv in college. And also in college at MCC, I was the president of their drama club.
Oh, neat.
So yeah. So there was a lot of ability to use that improvisation ability, use the acting ability to kind of create these characters, create this environment for people. I know in high school, Adrian and Andrew Nuno wrote this one play that we performed for our class, and it was in it, I played a coach during a zombie, like a football coach during a zombie apocalypse, and like kind of, just got to be that stereotypical jerk of a character. And I love that kind of stuff because, it's fun to be, it's fun to be a jerk, and and be mean to people. And I love that ability to perform that because, it's a fun role to perform, and that's it also kind of insulates you. Right, it causes you to be able to like kind of be callous towards the audience and not have to worry about what they're reacting to with you. And with improv, it's obviously a different matter to some extent, because you have to respond to what the audience is giving you.
Yes,
And
and.
so, yeah, yes. And so, that kind of thing. And with that, it's always, like kind of a It, I just always love it. I never really get stage fright, and it just is like kind of something that comes naturally to me in terms of like, okay, so I'm playing a part here, and this is how we're going to be doing this.
Now at MCC, I assume you worked with Jay Geller, and then you also mentioned working with Gina Belt Daniels, two wonderful directors.
Right.
What is it about a director that makes you want to work with them again?
So my experience, it's that support essentially, right? It's that feeling of, this is somebody that's like kind of willing to, see your way with this and help you out with that. And I know with both of those two, it's, obviously Jay is a teacher, and actually Gina, frankly, is a teacher. I mean, that was her profession. And it's very clear that their main job is supporting, and also getting the show done. And so, it those two things, but that life experience of theirs really does come into play, and it really kind of creates that kind of fostering atmosphere, that allows you to learn and allows you to like kind of do what you want to do while, also getting the job that they want done. I mean, like it's not like they hold their punches, that's not like they pulled their punches either. It's no, that doesn't work. We'll move on to something else. But it still is that fostering atmosphere, and I think that that's been what I enjoy with other directors. Is the ones that allow you to be creative as opposed to this is my exact vision and this is what I want.
Now, whether it be directors or actors, who are some of the talents that you look up to? And it doesn't have, it could be a favorite actor in Hollywood. So who inspires you?
Well, I mean, when I was a kid, when I was growing up, and I mean, still to a large extent. So, a lot of the people from Second City did. When I started finding out that a lot of my favorite comedians were all coming from there, it kind of made me like kind of it kind of caught my attention. And I mean, like when you have Stephen Colbert and Tina Fey and going back a ways, John Candy, Eugene Levy, et cetera, like you start realizing all these people, have that, they went through something and, they are doing something that's, very, very, very exciting. And so it causes me to, want to try to join that and want to try to recreate that for, somebody else, essentially, I guess is probably the best answer to that.
And so I assume that's why you got involved in improv in college.
Definitely. Yeah. I love it. I mean, it was a cool opportunity to, just be able to recreate, create comedy, on the fly, and I love it.
Now, did you pursue any training in acting? You said you didn't train in tech, but did you pursue any training in acting?
Well, yeah. When I was at MCC, I went through Jay Geller's classes, and that was really great training. It was he knows a lot, obviously. He has a master's degree, but aside from that, he has experience in it, and he knows a lot. But he trained us in, and he's gonna get angry at me for not knowing, not remembering it, but I think it was Stanislavski, I'm not sure. But he trained us in, that method, which is essentially, it's not the method acting, but it's the kind of step before, where it's you're kind of observing, things that you understand and can sympathize with about the character. And that's the way I very much learned how to act, and what I definitely applied. And now granted, unfortunately, for improv, that's not really easy to do because, you can't really just do that on the fly. You have to spend time with the character and kind of learn it. But yeah, definitely, in terms of like more serious stuff and more, significant stuff, I've always kind of gone back to that training of, okay, so this is the character I'm playing. This is how he's sympathetic to me. This is his given circumstances, is another term. And kind of learn from there. And I've even managed to apply that, to my actual degree that I wound up getting in college, where I added was able so it's a custom major, and I was able to add in theater to that custom
Oh,
major.
neat.
Yeah. And so and but it was perfect because my custom major was all about human behavior. And truly acting, acting courses, I mean, I would really recommend it for any, anthropologists or historians or, whatever social science. I would really recommend acting courses because it really forces you to analyze human behavior in a different way.
Now, in conversations that you and I have had, you've expressed interest in different directing, projects that you want to bring to fruition. Can you let us know some of the things you have in mind?
Definitely. I mean, so what in college I did radio dramas. I was on the Blue Gold Radios. Blue Gold, sorry, not Blue Gold Radio. Blue Gold Radio Sunday, to be absolutely clear, because Blue Gold Radio is fun. There's a fun atmosphere with that, which I probably shouldn't be saying on here. But anyway, so but I was on Blue Gold Radio Sunday, and what we did was we would we would create like kind of the old time radio dramas. Most of them were comedies, but essentially I loved doing that, and it gave me that ability to direct, people the way that, I had kind of been taught to direct again by Jay Geller. Just really just learning from his example, and kind of that, like, okay, so tell me what you're doing, not this is what you should be doing. So for the projects that I'm working on now, it's a lot of things that are similar to that. It's a lot of voiceover work and stuff like that. I'm currently actually working on one, actually literally right now, not right now as we're speaking, but literally today. It's a radio show, audio show about two alien explorers that are learning about kind of the sum of humanity and kind of, like kind of evaluating the worth. And it's a comedy for the most part, but that's the ultimate message with it. And so that's a matter of, unfortunately, just kind of due to the time constraints, it doesn't allow me to do as much as I like to do. But usually what that would be a matter of is I, tend to try to, again, evoke that, not really tell them this is what it is, until, there's not enough time left and they're still not getting it.
Now, this radio drama, where do you find your talent for that? Where did this opportunity come about?
Well, honestly, I mean, it was just a matter of when I was in college, it was an option. I ran into a buddy of mine, Max Harding, and he, like kind of presented me with this opportunity. I don't even remember exactly how it started, but he essentially presented me with this opportunity since he was the senior producer for the radio show at the time. It's student run and everything, but so he's my age, so he presented me with the opportunity, and I took it. And with his help, I kind of managed to like figure out, okay, so this is how you do levels, this is how this is what you do in audition and stuff like that. And I learned all of that stuff. So I just kind of naturally fell into it. And before that, I had been script writing with the drama club and stuff like that, and kind of just learning, okay, so you see, this is a more natural, style of human speech, essentially, and so like this, they wouldn't really say this kind of thing here, but with this kind of person, that would be more appropriate, that kind of thing. And I just kind of learn from failure and learn from experience.
Now, this project that we were talking about just a moment ago with the aliens that you're working on right now, is that a script you wrote?
I partially wrote it. So I wrote 3 episodes out of the 10, and then two other writers that I found also wrote 3 episodes. And then we all collaborated on the 10.
And are you still interested in Shakespeare? I know at one point you had some interest in directing Shakespeare.
Of course, yeah. I mean, but obviously with everything going on, that's been really tough to like kind of figure out how to do.
So, what have you been doing to keep yourself busy during the pandemic where there was no theater going on?
Well, partially those audio shows. I know a lot of me and a lot of my friends did that at the very beginning during quarantine. I in order to keep them occupied, because I'm and, I've always surrounded myself with creative people. In order to keep them occupied, I sent out this stuff that we could all do, essentially to like kind of do an audio show, and it was fun. And then so I did that. Kind of have tried to do, multiple audio shows. I'm working on an animation idea with a friend of mine from college, and then also I started a theater company. I actually started a real company, and then a part of that is now a theater company.
Oh, neat. You have to tell me about that.
Yeah. It's a new company that I'm trying to get off the ground, and I recruited a lot of local actors, to try to see about it, to try to see if we can do anything with it. And so what it is currently is it's just a collection of people currently. We were going to be doing a play, hopefully it was supposed to be actually a little bit ago here, but it didn't really work out because it was just too hard to coordinate, across different schedules, different projects, stuff like that. And so that kind of fell apart, but the theater company still has survived. So I'm currently trying to figure something out with them, and I actually haven't gotten back to them. So if any of them are listening, it's going to be happening soon.
Now, does this theater company have a name?
Yeah, Everar. That's EVURAHR.
And where does the name come from?
I'm gonna let people figure that out. Because that's the whole point. It's supposed to be enigmatic.
Okay. Now, as a director, what attracts you to a script?
Outside of stuff that I've written, I haven't directed a whole bunch of stuff.
Well, things that you've direct that you are outlining in your head that you would like to bring to stage.
Going back to the Shakespeare stuff, I mean, aside from it obviously being Shakespeare, right? The thing that attracts me to the scripts are, kind of like, the character development, like, so how does this character trend throughout the thing? What fun stuff can an actor do with it? Because I mean, that's part of what I'm trying to do, really. I'm trying to get the actors to, have fun in their own right. And, a lot of the stuff that I do, I try to bring in my friends into it because I know that my friends are talented. I know that, I've grown up with them. Well, grown up, I've grown up in this world with them, and I know what they can do. And so what I'm trying to do is I'm kind of just trying to, give them that ability to create something in their own right, and like try to find that cool, performance that they can do.
We're going to have to get you lined up with It's Showtime Theater of Huntley because we're doing Much Ado About Nothing. Roger Zawacki is going to direct that. But I would love to see us do more Shakespeare and give an opportunity to a young director like yourself. So
Oh,
we
that's
should
cool.
talk further.
Definitely, yeah.
You've been listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio. Today, my guest has been Matt Hordke. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. I wish you the very best with your future productions, and I hope you'll come back in the future and join us and tell us a little bit more about what you've been up to.
Definitely. Thanks a lot, Ricky.
Thank you, Matt.